Praise the Lord. Saints. Amen. All right, y'all. Thank my mics. As you can see, this is Pastor David up here, but it's the closest thing we could find as far as looks, size. That you anoint him afresh, and Father, let the altar service be a product of your Spirit, Father. When we depart from these walls, we can say we've been in the presence of God, and we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise for it all. In Christ Jesus' name, the church said,
amen.
All right, brother.
I haven't got to worry. I'm playing.
How are y'all doing this morning?
I'm not used to that. In my ear.
Amy said I look like Garth Brooks with it in my ear. So, then keep it in. Since I am a junior, I try to outdo my father. So, whereas he holds us for an hour, I'm going to try to shoot for two. Just letting you know. Daddy's been talking about when we were at Emmaus that I was at Emmaus serving, and it was amazing. It was amazing. If you haven't had a chance to go to Emmaus or serve on Emmaus, it's amazing. That's all I can say. And when Daddy was talking, he said, you know, I want you to do my sermon that Sunday morning. I thought he was joking. If it's a guitar you want me to play, we're fine. But preach a sermon? I don't even think I've ever gave a testimony. Yeah, I mean, you know, like in front of a whole bunch of people. Or, you know, popcorn preaching, jumping up or saying anything like that. So he helped me out a little bit, and he gave me an outline. And he said, I got it for you. You just go over it. He gave me a PowerPoint. I don't know how to work the PowerPoint, so y'all just have to follow me. But he gave it to me. He was going to preach it anyway, and he already had it ready. And he gave me the words, and the past couple of days in the mess, when we do get free time, I went over it. And I seen some stuff he had, and I didn't like, so I had to change it. Most of it was a lot of things about me and Daniel, you know. So I think I'm going to pick on him today. So I think Sunday before last he said that he was going to preach on, you know, people always say, God never gives you more than you can handle. And there's four reasons. More things than I can handle God gives me, and there's four reasons why. I don't know if you've ever been there. You know, you're not sure how much longer you can hang on. You're in the middle of a trial. You need encouragement. I mean, everybody goes through this. No matter what you're going through, somebody's going to make this statement. You know, God will never give you more than you can handle. And you wonder why. I mean, what's the matter with him? You know? And there's four reasons why he does give us more than we can handle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, it says, We don't want you in the dark, friends, about how hard it is when all came down on us in Asia province. It was so bad we didn't think we were going to make it. We all felt like we'd been sent to death row. That was all over for us. As it turned out, it was the best thing that could ever happen. Instead of trusting in our own strength or wits to get out of it, we were forced to trust God totally. Not a bad idea, since he's the God who raised us from the dead. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, it says, And as he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses than the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Our number one point is our faith needs to grow. When we all first met Jesus, we all learned about certain basics. We knew we were all born sinners. In Romans 3:20, it says, we have all sinned and fell short from the glory of God. We also learned that we cannot get into heaven with our sin. Like Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And then we learned that, you know, Jesus came and died for our sins. It was the perfect sacrifice. In Romans 5:8, it demonstrates his love. While we were still sinners, he still died for us. We learn that God calls us to repent and accept salvation. We need to be born through the Spirit through faith. We need to mature in our faith. Faith. So if we need to grow our faith, we need to know what faith is. Hebrews 11:1, it gives you the definition. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So we need to grow our faith. But basically, he's telling us to grow in something we hope. We grow in something, things we don't even see. That is a big step. Whether you're a babe in Christ or you've been a Christian for 100 years. Faith is, you've got to have it. It depends on your walk in Christ. The more trials you get, you're growing your faith. If you walk through Christ for 100 years and you're like, my walk's perfect. I had never had no trials. Well, evidently, you're not doing something right. Because the more you do, the more you give God, the more trials he's going to give you. But he'll make every trial that you're going through a blessing. Everything's a learning curve. So when the trials start coming, David one day fought Goliath. He didn't start with Goliath. He fought a lion and then a bear. David's faith grew till he could stand before the Philistine. It makes a lot of sense, but we're going to put it in layman's terms. You got Nolan Ryan, the best baseball player ever. Are you going to take a 4-year-old little kid and let him bat against Nolan Ryan? There's no way. He's got to work his way up. He'll go through T-ball, little league, legion ball, school ball, college, minor leagues. And then when he gets there, he's ready to face Nolan Ryan. That doesn't necessarily he's going to get to hit Nolan Ryan. But he's worked his way up. He's set his trials to the point where he's able to grasp it. James 1 and 2 says, consider it a sheer gift, friends. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. I'm going to stop right there. You know that under pressure, your faith is forced into open and shows its true colors. You know the difference between diamond and a coal? Diamond and coal. Pressure. The more pressure you put on a piece of coal, you get a diamond. And I think that's what he's talking about in the book of James, is if you're under pressure, your faith is forced out into the open. It shows your true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed. Not deficient in any way. Number two, our self-reliance needs to die. We live in a world which encourages us to be our own person. When we fail, we're told to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Hey, man up. But this is contrary to what we learn in the Scripture. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean unto his understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. We are encouraged to lean on God. Not on our own understanding, but he is one who will make our path straight. We lean on him, not on our own abilities. If I had to describe this, I would describe this as a team. You can have all the abilities in the world. You can have all the hotshot players all through the team. But as long as they think about themselves, you can have a mediocre team just walk right over top of them. But when that team pulls together and leans on each other, just as we should lean on God, they know they're not going to fail. God is making it clear that we are not self-sufficient. So maybe we need to stop seeing the trials and adversity in our lives as burdens, as an indication that God does not love us. Maybe we need to start seeing them as proof that God indeed loves us very much, so much that he will not let us try to rely on our own strength, but continue to show us that we must rely on him to endure suffering and persevere unto the end. My favorite verse in the Bible, probably I heard this verse when I was 8 years old, maybe vacation Bible school, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if you take that King James Version and you take that to the Message, the translation says, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Number three, what do you learn about God's character? Trials teach us that God is faithful. No matter who loves you, God, his love is the greatest. God has promised he will never leave you. I didn't know much about being a father when I become a father. And I saw, you know, Daddy, he would do things and he was always there for me. And I figured, you know, it'd be easy. You know, we had Sierra and I figured it'd be a breeze. When Sierra's about 2 years old, I said, Daddy, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. He said, DC, if Sierra was like you, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So, but I kind of think this is, you know, it's a father-daughter relationship as, you know, my relationship with God. No matter what Sierra does, I'm always going to be there for her. I mean, to this day, if I fall, I'm 34, 35 years old, if I fall hard, I know I'm calling, you know, Daddy, and he's there for me, just as we should call on our Father, Heavenly Father, when we fall. Because it's an unconditional love. As Sierra is my blood, we are bought by the blood of Jesus. So under the same blood, we're all on the same bloodline, so he's our Father. So we should call on him anytime. It says in Hebrews, don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed of what you have. Since God assured us, I'll never let you down, never walk off and leave you, we can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless no matter what. Who or what can get me? He's in it for the whole game. I mean, he's patient. He's in it for long suffering. He does not care how long the trial is. He's staying. One thing I tell Amy all the time, I say, baby, I'm in it for the long haul. And that's how God is in us in our relationship. Number four, God will get the glory. Whether you're aware of it or not, others watch you. If you claim to be a Christ follower, they're watching you closely. There's something different about those who know God up close. I say this a lot. This is probably one of my favorite quotes that I didn't make up. I actually heard it from another preacher. And we were all sitting around talking one day. I think it was a men's group. And he said, y'all know what? The people out there in the world, right? Yeah, yes, sir. He said, you are the only Christ some of these people will ever see. So you got to think by your actions. They're watching you. You don't think they're watching you. You claim to be a Christian. And, I mean, everybody falls short. Everybody sins. But they see how you act. They see how you rejoice. They see everything. And just that alone, it really works. We had some guys in the shop, you know, going through a lot, and I don't let much stuff try to get me down. I mean, I see guys make bad cuts and mess stuff up, and I cool down. If it gets too bad, I'll go walk away and get my truck right off. But we had a guy come in the shop the other day, early in the morning. He was in tears. And he said, DC, I don't know what to do. I said, why are you asking me for? I said, I'm nobody you want to model. I don't model yourself with me because I am far from being perfect. He said, no, the reason I'm asking you because I see how you live. I see how you treat Amy. I see how you treat Sierra. And what can I do? And I said, man, the only thing I can tell you, I reached on my desk and said, this is all I can tell you. And I give him the Bible. And he opened up a scripture, and it was exactly what he was going through. And he started crying in the office. And he said, oh, well, you maybe that was just, you know, coincidence. So he put the Bible back down on the table. We started talking, and I said, man, I'm not trying to preach to you at all. He said, what do I do? I handed him the Bible again, and he just popped it open. And that was another verse, and he just started bawling. He said, you know, we both have Bibles on each side of our bed, but we don't ever open them. He said, and I think I'm going to change that because you showed me that this stuff is powerful. And I said, man, I'm not pushing anything on you. I'm just letting you know it works for me. And it does. And that's just an example how just going through the day, they see how you handle stuff. They just, you know, cool head Luke. I mean, I used not to be that way. Something would go bad, I'd throw something through the wall. I mean, a heartbeat. I mean, and it's hard. You know, it's hard to control stuff like that, but you learn. And you learn that everybody's watching you all the time. So sometimes they may even ask you, why are you different? And just give God the glory. People ask me how I'm doing. I always tell them I'm blessed. We're blessed. We had a potential customer call. And he kept asking me, how are y'all doing? And I said, we're blessed. We're blessed with work. And I told him about three times. He called me three or four times. And finally he said, you sure do throw that blessed around a lot, don't you? I said, yes, sir, I do. Does it offend you? That's exactly what I said. And I was like, oh, maybe I should have said that. He said, no, it don't offend me at all. And to this day, we have been some of the tightest friends besides business work, just friends because they made that connection. God will always get the glory. The night before the cross, Jesus cried out in the garden. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Jesus told his Father, this is too much for me. This was the part where the human man was coming out. He was telling his Father, hey, I've got too much. You know, when he was caught, the night before the cross, he knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew everything that was going to happen. And this was his trial. When they put him on the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels to get him at any time. When they put the nails in his hand, he could have closed his hand. When they put the nail in his hand, he could have turned his head, but he watched. He felt the pain just like we do. And he knew that his trial would make everybody's blessing. Our sins put him on the cross. The soldier didn't kill him. We didn't kill him. He knew it had to be done to make our blessing. And it says that he gave God all the glory even though he was in pain. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to remember that God does not think like us. For as heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If we look, the whole outline of this sermon is, fellas, y'all can come up. Oh, y'all, I was just kidding about that 2 hours. I think the whole thing is, he wants to give you more than you can handle. I mean, it's, I think if you get more than you can handle, you'll learn to put more trust in the God. The more trust you put in God, you take a lot of eye out of your own self. You lean on Him, and that'll make us grow our faith. The more we grow our faith, the more battles we can conquer, the more battles we can take. It takes us back to the mustard seed. It's so, so small. If it fell right here in the floor, we couldn't find it. That's the kind of faith we need. The mustard seed grows to a tree. I mean, that's a lot of battle for a little seed that big to get to a tree that big. But it fights. It gets us one of the strongest root systems you possibly can have. So if we learn to let our self-reliance go, grow our faith in God, and give God the glory for what we're going through, whether it's good or bad. I mean, don't just praise Him because you're doing 100% today. I mean, you ought to praise Him on your worst days as much more or more than you do on your better days. You say it's nothing worth living for. You wake up in the morning, that's what we're praising about right there. You ought to be able to praise for your feet even hit the ground. Because there are some that don't have that option anymore. I hear people say, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. Everything's falling apart. I can't talk to nobody. I don't know what's going on. Hey, talk to the Lord is free. They say talk to Him as you talk to your friend. I mean, I talk to my friend. I'm saying, hey, God, I need some help. I mean, you try to talk to Him and you want to get, like, you've got to pray, like, oh, gracious, I got to pray so proper, and talk to Him as you talk to your friend. Talk to Him like I talk to my brother. Yeah. It's the best way to do it. Grow your faith. Give it all to God. Just trust me, He will not let you down. About 6 or 7 years ago, we were going through something. And a lot of people don't know this. But me and my wife, we were about to lose everything we had. I went from being humble to being bullheaded, stubborn. I even had people I talked to, people I trusted in the Lord with, like my spiritual fathers. He said when he talked to me on the phone, he just wanted to slam the phone down. And I think it took me losing by everything I had to finally learn that I can't do it by myself. And to this day, we went to a camp meeting, and it was a church we were at before. Right to the day that I left to go, I was still getting trials. Brother Wayne, you come help me. Come help me twice, the whole time through. Took my truck down there, blew my truck up. Called Daniel in Afghanistan, blew his truck up. But before I left, I made a commitment to the Lord. And even though I made the commitment I thought was going to be easier, as soon as I left to go to Georgia, it was heartache. Now, it hasn't been an easy road. But as a Christian, do you want an easy road? Do you want to skate through? Do you want to have a downhill slope? Or do you want to climb? Me, I want to climb every mountain. And when I get to the top, I want to try to climb another. I don't want the downhill. And I grow my faith every day. And I've been in church my whole life. But my walk with Christ probably didn't start till maybe 5 years ago. And then I really didn't see the big picture till I went to Emmaus. And that opened up my world. I can't explain it. If you have not been, it is something you really ought to think about going to. So y'all like the altars are open? Y'all like to say some prayer? Come pray.
He gave his life, what more could he give? How he loves you, oh, how he loves me, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Thank you. cross he lived. No fear is gone.
Sing it with us, church.
Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. I'd like to thank y'all for not throwing anything at me. It's been a blessing to serve here today for y'all. It really means a lot. Thank you for everyone to help. Thanks, everybody. Brother Wayne, can you pray for us, please? Amen.